is Jared the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. He's the GM, Floyd Reese. GM, how are you?
I am outstanding.
Good. All right, let's get right into it. Trade deadline today. The deadline has officially passed by 45 seconds. Now, we've learned about the NHL, Floyd, is that unlike other leagues, you can
stretch that as long as they want.
Push a couple across.
Yeah.
You know, if you're close to the finish line, they may let you go. A bunch of trades being made all across the league today. Philadelphia's making trades. Carolina's making trades. Vegas is making trades. Buffalo is making a trade. I mean, everybody is making trades. And as of right now, the Nashville Predators have not made a trade. Now, I say as of right now because last year when we jumped on for the trade deadline show, Wayne Simmons was not a Predator at that point, and then Wayne Simmons got traded to the Predators. Not that Wayne Simmons made any sort of a difference at any point down the stretch, which I really do think is probably the biggest story about the trade deadline, is how rarely these guys actually make an impact when they're dealt at the deadline. Marcus Johansson made a big impact last year for Boston as they got to the Cup Final, and he was a deadline acquisition. But generally speaking, it feels like a lot of trades are made at the deadline, and a lot of them just don't seem to matter that much. Now, it looks like the Predators are going to do nothing. Mikael Granlund did not practice today. They said it was a maintenance day. That gave me hope earlier in the morning that they were going to trade him and they were going to get some of these hauls, like the JPG trade, which I think was a first, a second, and a third for an average forward, an average guy. And so I was hopeful that Granlund sitting out of practice today was a sign to all of us that there was something in the mix regarding Mikael Granlund.
Surprise.
Well, then they came out and said it was a maintenance day, which also bothered me. Like, how gullible people are when it's like, well, the team says it's a maintenance day. So obviously, Jared, it's a maintenance day. He's not getting traded. It's just a maintenance day. And I'm thinking, what do you think they're going to say? Like, yeah, we held him out of practice today because we're trying to trade him. Yeah, maintenance, as in maintaining the body so that the body doesn't get hurt in practice so that he can get traded. That's what I was hoping. That's what I was hoping for. But so far, and again, I stress so far. I mean, I feel like we need a good 20 minutes. Like at 2:20, then we'll be able to officially know that the Predators didn't do anything at the trade line. Floyd, if it stands this way, do you like it, love it, don't care? How do you view David Poile's current inactivity at the trade deadline?
It doesn't surprise me. You know, I didn't think they would do a lot. I mean, they ended up, they picked up a defenseman yesterday.
I've never heard of the guy.
Yeah.
And if all it cost was Mika Salamaki,
it was kind of swapping spit. Yeah. But I mean, you ended up with a little bit of a defensive lineman defenseman that will probably go, you know, to Canada and play. Which is fine. It doesn't surprise me. This is kind of what I expected. I didn't think they had the resources. They've got resources, but I'm talking about resources that you want to spend or use. And I think they, you know, they had gotten to a point in time where they're thinking, hey, you know, we're going to have some deals that we're either going to have to do or pick up somebody else and do deals. So, you know, this is maybe not the best time to do that. And you know what? I mean, they're probably still trying to decide where the club is.
Are you okay?
What they are?
Are you okay with not being sellers?
Yeah, I'm okay with not doing anything. I mean, I didn't think they would do anything.
Well, I didn't think they would do anything either, but that doesn't make it okay. I mean, Mikael Granlund being on this team, in my opinion, is irresponsible. Not coming back. His agent told Adam Vinken over the weekend in The Athletic something along the lines of, they don't have the cap space to keep him. He's not coming back.
I think all the
fans, and a lot of my friends are fans, and so a lot of my friends are saying, go for it, Jared. This team, they just got to get hot, Jared. Just get hot. Get hot at the right moment, and they can make a run. The West is open. They can do all these things. And I'm thinking to myself, what have the Predators done this year that makes us think they're going to be able to make a run in the playoffs? And I don't mean that. I mean, I'm not here to tear down the team or anything like that. I'm just saying, what have we seen out of the team that makes us think that, hey, even if these guys do sneak into the playoffs, and honestly, they probably should make the playoffs when you factor in the games in hand that they have. They should factor in, they should make it to the playoffs. But what are they doing that gives you any hope that they can survive or that they could get hot? I mean, don't the best players on the team have to play well in order for them to do that? But the coach isn't even putting those guys in the game, so I don't see how those guys are ever going to get going to the point that they could win a playoff series. Or Pecorine would have to steal the series, all like how he stole that point the other night against Chicago or stole that game last Sunday against St. Louis. But I'm not even sure the coach would go with him if they got into a playoff series. So I'm just not optimistic of how deep this team could go, even if they do make the playoffs. And so to me, I just, if you want to keep Craig Smith for the warm and fuzzies of the fact that he's been here for forever and maybe you can re-sign him or something like that, then fine. But I still would rather have taken the assets, whatever they would have been, as long as they're above a fourth-round pick, which when you look at the trades today, it looks like Smith would have been much higher than a fourth-round pick, especially considering the Toffoli deal that happened last week. I just think it's wishing and hoping to say, this team's got the pieces. They can just get into the playoffs and just anything can happen. I mean, I guess anything can happen, but I don't think my life by anything. I
keep thinking we got those guys overrated. You know, we think those guys.
The Granlins and the Smiths?
Yeah. We think they're going to bring in all these high draft choices and stuff. Why? You know? I mean, we're.
Well, JPG, I think, just had his first 20 goal season, and he goes from Ottawa to New York for a 1, 2, and a 3.
See, none of that matters. That's because everything's in the eyes of the beholder. The guy that is giving up the draft choices, let's say. And if they look at him and they say, hey, this guy, you know, there's no comparison between him and this player over here, then that's what matters. And that's what you don't know. But, I mean, it's difficult for me. I mean, if you want to trade guys, and I'm not sure they want to, but if you want to trade guys and can't trade them, I mean, there's really only, you know, one reason, which is you're not getting anything for them. And so the conclusion is, well, I'd rather keep him at that cost, you know, or at that value than let him go, and that's it. So, I mean, and we don't know if they tried to trade or not, or we don't know if they were trying to pick people up and can't, you know, because it's always, and David says this all the time, it takes another team. But I look at those guys, I keep thinking, you know what, it's too obvious that they were prime or potentially prime trade candidates. Mm-hmm. You know, no contract, free agents, they're sitting there, they're playing well, they're, and yet you don't have takers. And in my mind, I'm thinking, well, you know, maybe they have takers, but the takers are, like you said, hey, we'll give you a fifth. And you go, wait a minute now. Why would I do that?
I don't know. Like, Chicago just got a second and a prospect in a package for Robin Leonard. Like, a backup goalie who's got the capability to start. Like,
easy on the goalies now.
But he's a second and a prospect? Like, that's my whole point, though. A second and a prospect for Robin Leonard. And I like Robin Leonard. He had a great first round of the playoffs last year when they swept Pittsburgh. But
he was worth two firsts before this weekend.
I mean, that's what he's worth? Like, what a... Like, that's what I'm saying is I just can't believe that someone wasn't out there willing to give a second for Granlin. And a second for Granlin would have been enough for me to do the deal. I mean, these second-round picks, man, these are good players that you get in the second round. You get Roman Josi and Shea Weber in the second round. Like, you get good players in the second round. You get Colton Sissons in the second round. I mean, you make deadline deals of Martin Erat, who demanded to be traded, and you got Philip Forsberg in return for it. You made a deadline deal, a sell deal that got you Cali Yarncroke. Like, I'm looking for those guys, those kind of prospects that come back in these deals. And I know what you're saying, but I can't believe that if Toffoli, who's a very similar player to Craig Smith, is worth a high-end prospect, a second-round pick, and an NHL player, that Craig Smith is not at least worth a 1 or a 2 or a 2 and or something along those lines. I think it's more of the idea of David Poile put this team together to win and is like the fans is holding out hope that this team can, in fact, win. And so he's going to go run them out there to see if they can win. And this is where I think I disagree with all my friends who are big fans, where I'm just not sold on this team's ability to get hot in the playoffs and make some noise and do something that would make it worth keeping the guys that they kept.
Well, I don't, again, I don't think they had the resources to go and get much.
Well, I don't want them to get anything.
And that, yeah, but I mean, if you're talking about giving guys up, especially like Smith and Granlund and those guys, you know, we go right back to the conversation we had before. You know, which is more important? Is it more important for you to get a third for Smith or, you know, leave the legs under your head coach? I mean, which, and I think that's got to be a factor in everything.
God, I hate that, though. Like, I hate the idea, and I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the head coach has drawn his line in the sand. And I think this weekend was another. I mean, you look at the ice time of Duchesne and Arvidsson. Now, I have a hard time believing you're going to be able to compete for anything if Arvidsson and Forsberg and those guys aren't playing. I really, as much as it's fun to watch them win games against minor league Columbus teams.
When we were a defensive team and we had the Jofa line, what happened to all of that? I mean, we had that line was as hot as any line. Now, I mean, they've all disappeared. So,
I mean, do you remember Poyle's press conference when they hired John Hines? And it was this guy's coming in because the good players aren't playing well enough, and we got to get the good players to play well. And what's happened is Hines has just sat those guys on the bench. And I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I mean, I give Hines credit for kind of sticking to his mentality of I'm only going to play the best players. If you're going to do something, at least be consistent with me on it, which he's done. But at the same time, do you think this team can win a playoff series if they don't figure out how to get those guys going?
Oh, it's going to be hard. I mean, you got, and Peter said this, not Peter, I'm sorry, David said this several times, which was, hey, you know what? I mean, our best players are not playing well. And I don't know how you win in the playoffs if your best players are not playing well. It's just that simple. As much as you want those backups and extra guys to do special things, when they get into games where they're playing guys that truly are, you know, playoff caliber guys, it's going to get hard fast.
So, according to Jeremy Gover on Twitter, he says that because the Preds PR, this is what he said, it's 2:05 and we have not received an email yet from Preds PR announcing the time of David Poyle's press conference later today. This leads me to believe that a deal made it through. So Gover is speculating that a deal got made because if a deal didn't get made, David would call down to the PR people and would say to them, hey, we didn't make a deal. It's 3:00. Let's do it. By the way, when David does talk, we'll have that. But that maybe David hasn't called down to the PR people because David's busy finishing out the touches on a deal, which, as we've learned with the NHL trade deadline, it's kind of a deadline.
Kind of.
I mean,
it's today.
Like, okay. At some point today, you will not be allowed to make a trade after that.
At some point today, we got to stop.
So, again, I want to wait until 2:20 before we decide the Predators didn't do anything at the deadline. Oh, my God. I would be euphoric if they do, like, a JPG trade for Mikhail Granlund, where it's like Granlund is someone for a first, a second, and a prospect. I may lose it on the air today. Like, Ian, you may have to get your hand over the button because who knows what would come out of my mouth if they at the end snuck through some great deal for Granlund that sets him up for years. So who knows? Again, Granlund didn't practice today. They said for maintenance. I follow up with who knows on that. They won over the weekend against Columbus. They lost to Chicago. We got thoughts on that. Get your Preds thoughts in. As of right now, it looks like David Poyle has not done anything at the trade deadline. Are you okay with that? 615-737-1025. We'll go to your calls next because it is trade deadline day. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts, Jared and the GM, live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 1025 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Now Rocco Grimaldi. 0-1 in his Predators career. brings the puck in through the left circle with pace. And scores! Rocco Grimaldi backhands it in. And the Predators take the shootout 3-2 and win the game 4-3.
They did get three out of a possible 4 points over the weekend.
Yeah.
But we'll get to those two teams that they played over the weekend in a second. I mean, I will never get upset about... I will never get upset out of a 4 out of possible 4 points. This is the lone exception that I will get a little upset out of a 3 out of 4 points. They got their rear end spanked on Friday night against Chicago. Pekka stole a point in that game. And then Saturday, I mean, that Columbus team was so hurt on Saturday. That was a minor league team that was out there on the ice against the Predators Saturday. And it took, what, 7-8 round shootout in order for the Predators to win that one. If it wasn't for the goalies, it would have been a just awful weekend for the Predators. But they did get 3 out of possible 4 points. I do think they're going to make the playoffs. I mean, if they keep everything together, I do think they'll make the playoffs. Barely, but I think they'll make it. But then the question is, what do you do after that? We talked about Jeremy Gover's tweet. Again, David Poile, as of right now, the Predators have not made a trade. And we said we were going to give it to 220, and it's 220 right now. And so there is no announced move yet by one of these insiders saying the Predators have made a deal, which leads me to think that Granlund stays, Smith stays, and obviously Grimaldi stays because he signed a deal today. Jeremy Gover tweeted out at 205, says, "We have not received an email from Preds PR announcing the time of Poile's presser later today. This leads me to believe a deal made it through." Gover then followed that up at 215 and said, "215, still no email." So maybe they're in the works on a deal, but, well, a deal just got announced right now by Elliot Friedman saying Barclay Goodrow to Tampa Bay. I don't even know who that is, but good for him. Or good for Tampa Bay or whatever.
Good for somebody.
But my gut going into today was neither Smith or Granlund was going to get dealt. Then the JPG trade from Ottawa to New York for a first, a second, and a third got made, and I thought, surely, like, David may want to take a run with these guys. And so he doesn't want to trade them. But if someone calls up and is offering first, second, and thirds for guys, I'd be hard to turn that down. So then I thought when I woke up this morning, maybe there was a chance they were going to make a trade. And now here we are. And it looks like they haven't made a trade, but we'll see. I promise to your phone, 615-737-1025. Your thoughts as of right now on the Preds' inactivity. Trevor is going to start us off today here on Jared and the GM. Go ahead, Trevor.
Do you know what, Jared? Normally, I think the things that come out of your mouth are moronic, but today you are 100% correct. We should have had an absolute fire sale and gotten rid of everybody. I could not agree with you more about the Granlund situation. I think we should have got rid of Smith, should have got rid of Watson, should have got rid of everybody. And I think the trades that Poile does are ridiculous, and I think what they should do is they should go back to a earn your wage scenario. Everybody gets $1 million starting wage, and for every 10 goals, you get $500,000.
Yeah, you can't do that. There's a collective bargaining agreement that does not allow you to do that. Thank you for your call. And I wouldn't have said a fire sale. I don't want a fire sale. I do think if this team doesn't make the playoffs, or if they do what I think they're going to do, which is make the playoffs and then get bounced in 5 or 6 games, with relative ease by the other team, anything's possible, I guess. But if that happens, I think there are going to be massive changes this offseason, like massive to the roster. But those are offseason moves, like the Johansons. If you trade a Johansson or you trade a defenseman, or if you do something like that, that's an offseason move. The deadline moves are the guys without term or the guys who you really don't want to keep, but they've got a year left after this year, so you can make that trade. So you make that trade, and not the guys that have got 7 years left or whatever it is for a lot of these players. I do agree with the caller, though. I mean, what good is Mikhail Granlund on this team? And I don't mean that in a mean way, but what good does he do for the team? Yes, he's scoring right now, which is good, but that means he can score for somebody else, and they'll give you something good in return. And his agents, this is the quote his agent had to Adam Vinga. Now, Floyd, if your experience with agents, why do agents talk to the media? If an agent goes on record to the media, why is that?
generally to get a point across for them.
Okay, what do you think the point is across here from Todd Diamond, Granlund's agent, to Adam Vingan? Quote, the team doesn't have cap space currently for next season to do anything at this point.
Well, at this point, what does that mean? When does the new league year start?
July 1st.
I don't know. Maybe he's waiting for July to come.
Well, if that were the case, you'd have to trade off players and then create the cap space in order to sign Granlund. Are you really going to trade off players to keep Mikhail Granlund?
Won't the cap go up?
Nah, I mean, I guess, but not to the point.
Nothing?
I mean, so it's projected out, I think, what it's going to be each year, the CBA. And then the players do have an option to elevate the cap at one point in the CBA. And I don't know the specifics of the CBA, and I don't know all of that, but the cap's not going to just miraculously go up so the Predators can sign a bunch of players. I think the at this point thing meant, like, you know, now if they trade Ryan Johansson, then they'll have the cap space in order to keep Mikhail Granlund kind of thing. But I just don't think Granlund's that important. You know, like long term, when you're talking long term for your team, I just don't think Granlund's that important.
Yeah, but the scary part, who is?
I mean, Roman Josi.
Okay.
UC Saros.
Okay. That's two. I mean, what?
That's all I got for you.
Well, I mean, that's...
I mean, I'd like to say Philip Forsberg, because so I deep down inside think those guys are good players. Like, I know. I get it. John Hines is saying, hey, this is the rule. You play well, you play. Not, you know, hey, if you've got a big contract, you play. Or if everybody tells me you're good, then you should play. If you play well, you play. And I appreciate that because I think that is purely merit-based. So I understand what Hines is doing. I just don't think those guys are bad players.
The hard part about that philosophy, and I understand it. I'm like you. I understand it completely and really appreciate it. And if I had my druthers, I think I would rather coach that way. But there are two levels of coaches in the league, in my opinion. You've got those that can coach the not-so-good players to be good players, and those that can coach the superstars. And the guys that coach the first set probably can't coach the second set, and vice versa. And, I mean, I think most of our roster, or at least the first two lines, or what used to be the first two lines, you look at and say, hey, these guys are stars. These guys are good players.
You're talking about the guys that, as you said, used to be the first two line kind of guys.
You know, the guy, I mean.
The four guys, Arvidsson, Forsberg, Duchesne, Johansson.
Yeah, I mean, and Johansson and Duchesne were on the third and fourth line. I mean, where does that put you? You know, I mean, I agree with what he's saying, but if you've got, and especially in hockey, where you've got a bunch of really good players or what are perceived as good players under contract for a long time, I mean, you can't just throw those guys away. You know, you can't just say, okay, we're done. If you're not going to do it my way, you got to go. I'm not sure that's the way it works. Now, I've never coached hockey, but I'm a little bit concerned about that.
I mean, I got to believe a deal is not getting done if the I
half
gotta
an
believe,
hour. It's 2:30. I mean, half hour late, they still allow a deal?
I saw something that just flashed across the screen on NHL Network that said, the Sharks are getting a first-round pick for something, and I don't even know what the first-round pick was, but it said they were still working it out on the call or something like that. I mean, I don't know.
This is unusual. We talked about this in the NFL. If you are 1 second late, they will not take it.
Oh, the Cleveland Browns screwed a deal with Cincinnati for A.J. McCarron a couple of years ago because the Browns didn't know the rules.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate it too, but that's the reality of it. So we're still waiting to see if the Predators made a deal or didn't make a deal. Let's get more of your phones, and I will get to your text next because we've got the text line loaded. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. There is a big trade. It's not a trade. It's a big acquisition, though, from my friends at Manscaped. That's right. They've successfully created the greatest below-the-waist trimmer ever, the new Lawnmower 3.0. We all know grooming is essential nowadays, but I'm sure a lot of guys are still hesitant to manscape. You're afraid you might cut yourself, a very understandable fear. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 3.0 features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent these scary accidents, so this trimmer won't nick or snag your skin. The Enhance 3.0 has a long battery life, charging station, and LED light for a safe, precise job. Go to manscaped.com, try the Lawnmower 3.0, get 20% off and free shipping when you use the discount code NASH. N-A-S-H. That's manscaped.com, discount code NASH. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, on the trade deadline, streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Now Yossi and Dubois feeds it back to Zach Werenski. His shot went wide of the net. Dubois couldn't get to the rebound cleanly, and it's taken up ice now by Philip Forsberg. Predators coming back. 3-on-2. Forsberg left side. Got it over for Granlund, and he scores! Predators take a 2-0 lead. Mikael Granlund converted on the 3-on-2.
Granlund put it in the net. Team-high 9 goals since John Hines took over as coach. Did not practice today. The Predators said it was a maintenance day for Granlund, and trades are still coming in, apparently. So we don't know for a fact that the Predators didn't do anything at the deadline as far as that is concerned. Floyd, what do we read into Mikael Granlund's maintenance day today at practice? Does that make you think that Poile kept him out of practice, maybe in case something happened? Was it a message to the rest of the teams in the league of, hey, Granlund's not practicing today, he could be on the move, which means if you want to get in on the Granlund bidding, go ahead and call David. 1-800-PREDATORS. Go ahead and call David. Or do you think it's as legit as John Hines said today after practice that he just had some bumps and bruises and just wanted to take it?
I'm taking him at their word. I have no idea. I mean, this is unique to me.
Texters, let's get to the text line. 615-737-1025. Granlund will be re-signed after Forsberg and Johansson are traded after the season. Okay, there's a lot to unpack there. First of all, I do not think the Nashville Predators are a better team if they trade Philip Forsberg. Johansson, I can at least listen to the possibilities of what you may get for Johansson and whether or not it's addition by subtraction and maybe, you know, just finally, you know, rid yourself of a guy who you constantly have to make excuses for during the regular season of why he doesn't play so well, but does have the talent to be a really good player. And I'm also not in the belief that trading talented players for 50 cents on the dollar is a good idea. But at some point, I mean, if he's not going to play for this coach, then you may not have another option. So that's there.
But the problem is, I mean, where's his value now?
I told you, 50 cents on the dollar.
I mean, he was a first-line guy, and now all of a sudden he's so, you know, what if he was worth two firsts before, you know, he's worth a third or something. I mean, it's, you know, I think that's the hard part.
Well, if you call somebody about Ryan Johansson, they know you're going to want to trade him, and so they're not going to give you full value for Ryan Johansson. I mean, Kyle Turris, you traded real assets for Kyle Turris 3 years ago and could not for the life of you get rid of him. Think about that. That is how much his stock plummeted in the past year or in the year or so after he was acquired by the Predators, that you traded real assets for this guy, gave him a deal that everybody thought that's a fair deal, and literally could not get rid of the guy.
You've heard me talk before about how there are places that people get traded to that just never live. I mean, you cannot become one of those places. You know, you can't. And other places where, you know, you trade your guy to him, you don't think he's worth a hill of beans, he gets there and he's an all-pro. And you're going, wait a minute, why, you know, why couldn't he be an all-pro here? So I don't, those things always scare me when I see that and it happens, you know, a couple times in a row. You go, man, oh man, we do not want to be that.
That every player the Predators trade for, everybody says it's a good trade, and then you look back on it, you're like, it's a terrible trade.
Where did it go? What happened to him? You know,
I mean, Forsberg, Joe, I mean, Duchesne. I mean, they've been trying to get Duchesne for years and have really overspent on multiple levels of trying to get Matt Duchesne here. They get Matt Duchesne here, and then he's, you know, what's he doing for you right now? And so I don't disagree with what you just said right there. I mean, that's a really valid point. Not so much of a trade deadline point, but a very valid point. My thought, though, about the idea of, well, just re-sign Granlund is, okay, if you trade Forsberg and then want to re-sign Granlund, that's great. But you have as much of a chance to be able to re-sign him on July 1st as everybody else does. Just because he played for you last year or the previous season doesn't mean, unless you're going to be willing to give him 8 years where only everybody else could give him 7 years, that doesn't mean that you necessarily get to keep him. Even if you want to keep him, there's no franchise tag in hockey. On July 1st, he can go wherever he wants. And that's my whole point on Smith, is if you sell on Smith if you sold on Smith today, you could re-sign Smith on July 1st. The guy's lived here for a decade. You think he really wouldn't mind going for a cup run somewhere else and then coming back on July 1st? Like, so those things bother me from the sense of, well, keep him so you can try to re-sign him now or re-sign him on July 1st. There is free to go anywhere on July 1st. That doesn't make any sense to me, that argument.
Well, if the only thing is if you're a player and they trade you, I think that tells you something, especially if you're being traded for 50 cents on a dollar. You know, now all of a sudden you're saying, wait a minute now. I know I'm worth more than that. And you dump me and now you want to resign me? No, I think I'll stay over here.
I just can't with the market of what these guys were going for. JPG, a first, second, and third. Toffoli, a legit prospect and a second round pick and a throw-in guy for Toffoli. Like Robin Lehner, who's a borderline starting goalie, okay starting goalie. Like the prices for these guys were so high. I can't believe that Granlund didn't have some sort of a legitimate market that people wanted. Texter to the text line, if the offers were terrible for the expiring deal guys, would you have preferred, talking would you, Jared and the GM, would you have preferred to get anything you can, a fifth rounder or whatever it was for the expiring guys, or hold on to them for the playoff push?
Well, I mean, no. This is just my opinion. They're worth more value to you trying to get to the playoffs than they are for a fifth round. I mean, that's, you know, what kind of value is that? So if in fact we think we can make the playoffs with these guys, then, you know, you keep them and you give it a run.
How about this tweet from Pierre LeBrun? Sends out a tweet. I don't think the Habs are done yet. It's 2:39. Like, how can the Canadians not be done? It's 2:39 p.m.
Crazy. I don't know.
Texter to the text line says, deals count as long as the paperwork was faxed before the deadlines. The announcements can trickle in throughout the day. What do you think about that?
Yeah, right. I've seen those. Let me say this. This is the electronic age. It takes you a split second to send information. So you could, you know, it'll take you literally 1 second to send a deal to the league.
Well, I mean, especially if the Canadians aren't done yet, according to Pierre LeBrun, that the Canadians are not even done yet. I mean, that's still probably trying to work out the deal.
Yeah.
This drives me nuts. The idea of the league having a trade deadline. And here we are 40 minutes after the deadline and you get a tweet from a legitimate bona fide hockey insider that says Team X is not done yet. That infuriates me. What is the point of having a trade deadline if there's no actual deadline? Texter to the text line. I think Poile made the right move standing pat. Again, we don't know if that's what happened, but as of right now, we're operating under the ideas that the Predators did not make a trade today. Texter says, I think Poile made the right move staying pat. This is the most talented Preds roster on paper. Stop, stop, stop. The most talented Preds roster on paper? I'm sorry, PK Subban is on this team?
Well, yeah, but we traded Duchene for him.
Right, but two years ago? Like, on paper, 2 years ago, PK Subban was a lot better than Matt Duchene. I mean, I still hold out hope that Duchene's a good player. I can't believe that the general manager could have loved this guy this much and have been so desperate to get Matt Duchene and him be this mundane.
It's surprising to me because I thought, and it's not just David. I mean, let's face it. I remember around here, everybody was, you know, whooping and hollering. Hey, I think we're going to get Duchene. Oh, we didn't get him the next year. Same deal. Then third, hey, yeah, we got him. We did it. This is the answer. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, we're on a roll now. Here we go. Let's see how this thing works out.
So Ryan texted me and said, 2 p.m. is a hard deadline. Trade calls get backed up at the deadline, which is what causes the delay. A delay to 2:42.
Again, this is the electronic age. I don't care where you are, who you are, what. I mean, you can literally be in touch with somebody in a second.
I want to know what time we found out of the Wayne Simmons trade last year. I mean, maybe, like, whatever. And if the I told you right here on the show that if it comes down that, hey, the Predators worked out a deal and Mikhail Granlund is going to, trying to think of a team who's really gearing up to make a push and actually has assets to trade at this point, you know, is going to the Boston Bruins.
I'm not sure that matters anymore, some of these deals. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, or is going to the Boston Bruins for the 2020, no, for their 2022nd, a 2021 first, and a mid-level prospect, I will literally cry grown man tears on the air. I will cry because I think that I just look at these two guys, Smith and Granlund, of having the potential to set you up with a couple of assets for years. And how much do they really help you the rest of the way? How much do they really help you? Maybe they help you get into the playoffs. This team should get into the playoffs this year. Maybe it helps you get into the playoffs. But then what? When your aspirations going into the season were winning the cup, if you lower the bar to just making the playoffs, how do you feel after that deal gets done or whatever? You make no deal, you go to the playoffs, you make it, you lose in 5 games to St. Louis in the first round. Now how do you feel on April 22nd when the season's over? Are you still looking at it saying, good thing I don't have prospects and I've got the 23rd ranked farm system? Like,
What you're saying, though, I mean, with this thing, is you're saying, you know what, an off season with these guys and it'll be completely different next year. And all these guys that are stars will play like stars and we're on our way and look out. Preds are coming.
But the guys that you didn't trade won't be here.
No, but all these other guys will be.
The guys that are on the bench.
But they'll be with an off season. They're going to be cranked up and ready to go next year.
Oh my God!
That's what you'll hear.
I mean, look, I know
what
I'll
gonna say.
Hey, I know what I'll hear.
Yeah,
but what reality is? That's where I guess I differ. Is, I mean, everything that surrounds this team right now, I feel like, is pure, unfiltered optimism, right? Like it's pure fandom. Like all of my friends are fans. I'll pick this up on the other side. Jared and the GM, 615-737-1025, still waiting to see if the Predators make a trade as the trade calls are now kind of rolling in. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 1025 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. First, let me tell you, ESPN 1025 The Game is hitting the road for a Preds game this year. It's off to Columbus to cheer on the Predators as they take on the Blue Jackets at Nationwide Arena on Saturday, March 14th. Tickets are on sale now. To purchase, visit thegamenashville.com. Trip is organized by Simply a Fan. Visit simplyafan.com for other upcoming sports adventures. Transportation is provided by Gray Line of Tennessee. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 1025 The Game, and streaming on the Game Nashville app. All right, it's out now. David Poile will meet with the media at 3:30. Jared and the GM, we will have that. Either we will have that live or we will have that as soon as we get it. But David Poile will meet with the media today. So that makes me think, Floyd Reese, that there was no deal done by the Predators today at the trade deadline. Are you okay with it?
Yeah. I mean, I thought this was the way it would be.
Just because I thought it was the way it was, though, doesn't mean that I think it's the right thing
to
do.
Well, I don't think they have any choice. I think they feel like they're locked in. I think they feel like they're locked in with the players they have under contract. I think they feel like they're locked in with resources. I just don't, not that they didn't try, and there may have been 100 opportunities. But my gut feeling is that they, you know, if there would have been a deal out there that they could have, you know, not spent a lot on and maybe got more than it was worth, or gotten more in a trade with one of the guys than they expected they would be able to get? I mean, maybe they would have done that, but I just didn't feel like there were a lot of options, you know? If you're not up against the cap, and if you've got talent, you know, in the pipeline, and your guys are playing good, and you're, you know, where you expect to be, I mean, you have a lot of resources with all that.
Right,
you know?
Like Anaheim got a first in return for Kasha, who is a run-of-the-mill winger. You know, yeah. He's okay. Got a nice shot, but he's not great. I mean, I remember Kasha in the playoffs a couple years ago, but they got a first for Kasha from Boston because they took on David Backus's contract in return.
Yeah. So you get those options, but without all of that, I mean, the options are few and far between. And then you got the new coach, you know, and you have to take all that in consideration.
The two things that bother me about this trade deadline scenario, one is, as I like Warren Buffett said this, like people will buy a stock and they'll get attached emotionally to the stock. And Warren Buffett's always like, what are you doing getting attached emotionally to a stock? That stock doesn't have any feelings for you. So what are you doing getting attached emotionally to the stock? And I've always, like, you know, lived my life, or I try to think like that. And I'm thinking in this term of, like, look, Craig Smith is a nice, okay player. Like, he's an okay player. He's not a good player. He's not a bad player. Although at times he masquerades as both. But what's that stock going to do for you on July 1st if you don't re-sign him and he goes and signs somewhere else? What's Granlund going to do? His agent's already told you, basically, he's not coming back. What's Granlund going to do? What's that stock going to do for you? But if you turn that stock into assets, i.e. Anders Lindback for 2 seconds, and one of those was Colton Sissons, like, those are the deals that, in my opinion, make or break you in the long run. And you've made too many of those trades that, at the same time, I put my hands in my face and I said, a first-round pick for Ryan Hartman, are you kidding me? Like, that I just wish that this year could be a year where you take advantage of somebody that's willing to do something like that for you. And I view it as a missed opportunity if, in fact, they didn't get anything done. As a missed opportunity to really reload, because they need to reload. And don't think that not picking until the fourth round in 2018 is not going to eventually catch up to you. It is. And that is where I sit, and I really thought today could be a big day for the Predators, a big day for the foundation of the franchise.
I don't.
And it looks like it's just not going to be.
You thought you were going to make a haul with Smith and Granlund?
Oh, God, yes. Again, JPG for a first, second, and third?
I don't see you want to compare those. I mean, you can't compare.
You don't even know who JPG is, though.
Who cares? It doesn't matter who the guy is. It doesn't matter what name is out there. You could put Muhammad Ali and whatever name you want out there. It has nothing to do. If you can't find somebody that is willing to give you that for your guy, it doesn't matter what anybody else gets. Does not matter. And you can't say, well, JPG got this, and this guy is better. You've heard me talk about agents. You know, my guy is better than that guy, so you got to pay me more than... Sorry, it's not the way it works.
Stop. Everybody stop what they're doing. Everybody stop what you're doing. The Predators made a trade. Matt Irwin and to Anaheim. And so the Predators would be getting a pick or a Holzer back. Am I reading that correctly? Pierre Lebrun says Matt Irwin to Anaheim for either a pick or Holzer. Ian, who the hell is Holzer?
Corbinian Holzer.
Who is that?
He is a defenseman from Anaheim. He's more of a defensive defenseman. He's pretty much not that much different than Irwin, I don't think.
Well, Irwin is an offensive defenseman.
That's true. He's
not,
much...
Not offensive, not in like an offensive scorer. He's an offensive defenseman to watch. So I'm glad he's gone. So
Holzer is 32.
Pick. Give me a pick. I don't want Holzer. Pick.
6'3", 206 pounds.
Pick. Give me the pick. I don't care if it's in the 6th, the 7th, the 5th. Give me a morsel.
Has
David.
Played 46 games for Anaheim this year. He has 4 points.
Pick. Give me the pick. Pierre. P- Pierre, please be a pick, Pierre. Give me a pick. I don't care what round. Conditional sixth. I don't care. I want a pick. Oh, well, they made that move. So there's that.
So are you happy now?
No, I wanted a pick. I don't want Holzer. I want a pick. Oh, picks. I think I may be like, I don't want to say, you know, remember Sashi Brown, the guy that ran the Cleveland Browns into the organization, the guy would do anything to get draft picks. I'm not like that, but I certainly am not like that either. Like, I love going into an NFL draft with 10 picks. Like, the idea of going, like what Belichick does with these picks, where he just constantly, all throughout day three, trades down, trades up, trades down, trades down, and then has a bushel of picks in the next year to go trade up whenever he wants to. I love that. And I kind of wanted that. These little trade chips that do matter in that regard. Robert has been waiting patiently. 615-737-1025. Robert has been waiting patiently on David Poile. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, guys. I love the show. Jared, I'm one of the rare breed that actually agrees with you most of the time. Here's my thing. And, GM, I want you involved in this as well, okay?
Okay.
I think David Poile is a wonderful person. Okay, let's say that. The thing is, to me, I'm getting today exactly what I expected to get today. And here's why. I believe David Poile, in the history, the NHL's been around for 103 years. David Poile has been a GM for 43 of those seasons. He has been the luckiest guy in the NHL because he's worked for two franchises up until the last couple of years when this management group seems to have, like, finally had it and made a couple of upper echelon firings, if you will. He's worked for two franchises in 43 years out of a 103-year league, and his team has only ever been to one championship, not even win. That's like stealing money. I can't figure, and I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean, he's been the luckiest guy in the history of sports. I can't think of any other sport in the four major sports where you would still have a job as a GM for that long.
Robert, thank you for your call. It's probably a little harsh. I mean, like, David is in the U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame. I mean, there is that. But, I mean, I understand the sentiment on all sides of this. And, look, Laviolette said this. The expectations rose when they won. And so when they rose when they won, everybody now has this in their feeling where they should be cup contenders every single year. Well, you're just not going to do that. Like, as you said, the Titans could be 30% better next year and not even make it to the playoffs.
Exactly right.
And that's what's tough about sports. And that's where I sit, where, like, even last year, I thought you had an outside chance of being a cup contender. 2 years ago when you lost in the Winnipeg Series, you were a legitimate cup contender. I mean, this team and the team 2 years ago that won the President's Trophy, not the same team. This team and last year's team, not the same team. And that's where I guess I differ in all this. More of your phones. We're back to them next. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. It looks like the Predators have made, I guess, two if you count Saturday's move. Two very minor moves at the deadline. It looks like Smith stays. It looks like Granlund stays. We'll get into that next. And did they do this for the coach? And was that the right call? We'll discuss next. Jared and the GM. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.